It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. This is Charlie Potter, your host on WGN Radio, and I'm on the road, literally, just about to cross the border into Canada from the United States. My guest this morning is Carrie Luft of the Max McGraw Wildlife Foundation. Carrie, thank you for joining us. And Carrie, I have to ask you, you know, I'm about to go across the border and through customs, and they're going to ask me all kinds of questions. But are they going to ask me, am I bringing any flies into Canada? Because I stopped at a gas station about 300 miles, 400 miles ago, and left the windows open, and it became full of black flies, which I can't get out of my truck. Am I allowed to take those into Canada with me?
Yeah, I think you have to. I'm sorry to hear that, Charlie.
Well, I do think of, you know, I'm bringing a boat. I have a canoe on top of my truck, Carrie, and I've already had to be stopped and made sure, you know, I didn't have any invasive species and it's completely dry, but nobody asked me about the flies. All right, Carrie, we're not going to talk about flies this morning. Let's have some fun. We always do. I always appreciate your thoughts. First question, Ducks Unlimited Canada had big news this week. A new CEO, yes, they've had a few in the last few years, but it's somebody I believe you know and have great respect for. Can you tell us a little bit about what you think is a really positive move?
Well, the new acting executive, chief executive officer, is Pat Kehoe, who's been with DU Canada for almost 30 years in a lot of important jobs. He's been Director of International Partnerships, Chief Conservation Officer, which is his current title. And now he's stepped in, at least on a temporary basis. I don't know if he even wants to do it full time, but he stepped in to take the reins at a very critical time for wetlands in Canada. I think our friends out there should understand that DU Canada is very different from DU Inc. in the United States, in that DU Canada is one of the main delivery agents for conservation on the prairies. The Canadian Wildlife Service doesn't have the wherewithal that our Fish and Wildlife Service does to do habitat work, to do wetlands work, etc. So if it's going to get done in up in Canada, DU Canada has to make it happen. And I'm not underestimating what they do. What I love about this is that Pat is a fully qualified scientist. He studied, he has a master's degree from Guelph, and he is a duck hunter beyond compare. I don't know anybody who, well, maybe you, Charlie, who is as active and as avid a duck hunter as Pat. He's a great cook. He's a great taxidermist. He's an interesting guy. He knows ducks. And he knows what they need, and I couldn't be happier with this news.
Well, I think also, Carrie, if I'm not mistaken, you have worked with him on issues with the North American Wetlands Conservation Act and the Prairie Habitat Joint Venture. So I too believe this is a tremendous move for an organization. As you said, DU Canada is very different. They have to deliver the conservation on the ground in Canada, or it doesn't get done. We don't have, and Canada does not have the strong state federal work that we do here in the United States. They do have federal and, you know, federal and provincial agencies, but really it's DU Canada working with the North American Wetlands Conservation Act, or it's not going to get done. And as you said, Pat Kehoe's a man of the prairies. So I think if I'm not mistaken, you were hunting a few years ago and near Watrous, or somewhere in southern Saskatchewan, and you walked into a store, and who was standing there?
Pat Kehoe. That's how we met. I recognized him from watching an old Ducks Unlimited TV show that he was on, and I walked up to him and said, yeah, Pat Kehoe. And we met and had a beverage later that week, and we talked about our respective organizations and what I like to think is a good relationship grew out of that. And he and I have worked together on some issues about promoting and better explaining the success story that is the North America Wetlands Conservation Act. There's great work being done. There has been great work done. But nobody knows about it except a small club of people. So Pat's been instrumental in helping the Max McGraw Wildlife Foundation push forward with its conservation communications programs, and very grateful to him for that.
Well, I hope he has a great run, Kerry, and from time to time, if you'll keep us posted on really what's one of the most important positions in conservation in one of the most important conservation organizations in the world, and certainly North America. So, Kerry, with Pat Kehoe now in play, do you think there's any chance that Manitoba might revisit this absolutely absurd non-resident policy they have on hunting when hunting numbers are crashing in Manitoba? Do you think that maybe Pat, without being political, I'm not trying to go there, does he have the kind of insights that can help the Manitoba government understand why what they're doing is really not good for conservation?
Well, to understand, you have to want to understand, Charlie. So I don't know. I mean, Pat is the acting CEO, so he's not permanent. That I don't know what his mandate is from the DU Canada board, but he surely is somebody who is very concerned about the Manitoba regulations limiting out-of-country hunters. And he is also very concerned about the possibility that it might spread westward to Saskatchewan, Alberta, et cetera. So he's on. If you're a duck hunter, Pat Kehoe is on your side, and we should all be very happy that at least for a while he's running things in Okamek, Manitoba.
Well, Kerry, let's hope it goes well. And just on a personal note, before we switch gears to something you're all going to be interested in as well, and that's the subject of dogs and how Kerry and I and so many of you listening love dogs, I have to say just how wrong the Manitoba licensing situation has gone. In Manitoba, as you may recall, and we've spoken about a lot about it on the air here on WGN Radio, Kerry, you've spoken about it, they limited through a lottery the number of people who can hunt waterfowl in Manitoba, and they limit you to a week. Well, it's not a lottery because everyone applies, gets a license because the numbers are falling so fast because Americans don't want to do this. But, Kerry, one of the real obstacles is if you apply for the lottery and you are drawn, well, in other words, you're going to get it, you have to buy the license or you may not apply for future years. They haven't determined how many years. They actually call it you go into the penalty box. So this year in Manitoba, we have one of the worst droughts Manitoba has seen in, well, decades, if not even longer. Lots of places don't have water. Traditional hunting areas have no water. So Americans have nowhere to go in a lot of instances. Yet they're required to buy a license, Kerry, even though they can't go. And it doesn't matter whether it's a mutual person you and I know is delivering a eulogy at a friend's funeral or they have no water where they're going. Manitoba says you buy the license or you go into the penalty box. It seems to me, Kerry, that, you know, for customer service, the province, which has friendly Manitoba on its license plates, is not being very friendly.
So I'm going to push back on that one a little bit, Charlie, because I just read a story today about how Florida opened up its bear season for a lottery. And they know that the lottery had for, I think it was something like 4,000 applicants for 172 slots. And they know that a significant proportion of the people who entered the lottery were anti-hunters, with the goal of taking that slot and making sure that one fewer bear would be shot. I could see that happening for sure in Manitoba. I'm sure that was a concern, but it sure is a tough thing when you have to cough up some money knowing that it's just going over the side. At least it should be going toward habitat and duck work.
Well, very well said. And I think it's $200 for a license. Very well said, Kerry. It's just unfortunate that it's as rigid as it is. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about dogs, Kerry. And I'm going to talk about a dog that I met as a puppy that you have nurtured into something that nobody thought was possible. You're listening to The Great Outdoors Show. This is Charlie Potter, your host. We're visiting with Kerry Luft of the Max McGraw Wildlife Foundation. And now a word from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go, worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter here on WGN Radio, and we're going to devote the rest of this show to our favorite friends, our dogs. And if you are a hunter and have a hunting dog, we're going to dedicate it to your dogs. And just talk about as we enter the fall and the time of the year when our dogs, which have been lying around the house all year for the past 9 months now, look at us and they smell the north wind coming, or they see us getting a gun out, or they see us doing something and they look at us and they wag their tails. But the first thing they say is, I'm out of shape. That's the case of my dog that's in the car right now with me as I'm on doing a mobile show on WGN Radio. He's going to hit the water and hit the fields, and he's going to say, how come I didn't work hard enough this summer? So, Carrie, you have a very special dog. You want to talk about a dog that is named affectionately Norm. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, Norm is a yellow lab, and he was brought to the McGraw Kennel, hoping that McGraw would put him on their string of hunting dogs. And Norm was, even as a young puppy, was the calmest dog I've ever seen. I think you remember, Charlie, he crawled under a table and fell asleep with people talking all around him. I never had seen a puppy, let alone a Labrador puppy, do that. But over time, he's just not suited for kennel life, and he didn't show any real promise as an upland hunting dog. But I had been socializing him with my family. I have two daughters who absolutely love dogs, and so does my wife. We had been socializing him at some point, and when the decision was made that the then named Labrador Butter was going to be a washout at McGraw, we purchased him as our pet, and that's what we were thinking we were getting, a pet. And we thought he was not so bright. He ate a drain pipe one day. But he was always sweet, great with my kids. And the second year I had him, I took him duck hunting. He brought a few birds back. Last year when he was 3, I took him duck hunting. He brought a lot of birds back. And then this year, our trainer at McGraw, Andrew Buck, who is absolutely outstanding, says he's doing better than ever, and I can't wait to see it when we open the season in October, and I'm looking forward to you seeing him in action too, Charlie. I think it's just a story that you never give up on a dog. And also, I think we've got to think about, what do we have dogs for? I mean, I'm an avid hunter. You're an avid hunter, Charlie. I mean, I probably hunt 30 to 40 days every year. That means my dog has to be something, my pet, for 325 days a year. And he is wonderful at that as well. And I can tell you, one of my favorite memories from last season was deciding not to shoot on a morning when the ducks were relatively scarce. And I let my buddy shoot, and I sent Norm out after every duck, and he brought them all back. And Charlie, that was pretty special to me.
So I have to laugh. And for those of you listening who have dogs, labs that have maybe surprised you, or any species, you have to put up with the puppy, which tears everything up, and of course is everything it's not supposed to do in a house, and yet they become our best friend. And Carrie, as you may recall, I did a a chapter in a book about dogs I've had and dogs I've known, and they just become your best friends. And but Carrie, I have to correct you on a couple things. For those of you listening, you could have walked out to retrieve the duck faster than Butter, aka Norm, did. He would walk out, Carrie, in slow motion, stand there, look at it, and then walk back as though to say, "Here it is, you come and get it." So,
well, he thought he was a Labrador finder instead of a Labrador retriever, but he's gotten better. I will show you, and you will be amazed.
So we love our dogs. I think you have to tell everyone, because we all have a great sense of humor when it comes to this, how did you name them, Norm?
My daughters. They love the Great British Baking Show, and their favorite contestant at the time we got the dog was named Norm. And they just thought he was hilarious, and they said, "Let's name the dog Norm." So I didn't get a vote, Charlie, but it suits him. He's a friendly guy, well, like Norm on Cheers.
So, exactly. That's what I'm thinking. Norm on Cheers. So we got a couple minutes left. So, Carrie, what are some of the things we all should do before we go and just release our dogs into the field or into the marsh and expect them to remember something and not misbehave or get in other people's way? And most of all, what about their health? I mean, as you said, 300 plus days a year, and for a lot of people, 300 and maybe 60 days a year, they sit around and look at them, and then they're expected to be a pro for 5 days. That doesn't work, does it?
I think you have to manage your expectations for that. You know, if, I mean, what would we be any good at something if we only did it 5 times a year? You know, I'm fortunate in that I work with Andrew Buck at McGraw, and he takes Norm and tunes him up, and then, you know, Norm is very well cared for at home, but you have to make sure your dog is in the best shape possible, especially in the early season. I was hunting in South Dakota several years ago for sharptails and pheasants, and on the opening weekend, I don't want to put a number on it, Charlie, but a lot of dogs died of heat stroke. They just weren't up to the heat. Keep an eye on your dog in the field. Just like you get sore after walking for the first time in a while, so do they. Maybe you take a break in the middle of, if you're on a week-long trip, maybe there's a day when you all kick back and relax. But take care of your dogs. Make sure they've got water. Make sure they've got food. And by all means, really watch out for them if you're in a hot, dry climate.
That's great advice. And Carrie, I'm afraid we've run out of time. We could certainly talk forever. And for those of you listening, I'm exporting black flies into Canada. And Carrie, I hope I bring a few ducks and sharptails back into the United States. Thanks for being with me, Carrie. And for all of you who have dogs, we love them. Just remember, if they haven't been out in the field for a while, it's hard on them, and don't expect them to be perfect. Thanks so much for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.